This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 22nd of November, 2021. It's Thanksgiving week for American traders out there, so we'll have a very holiday shortened week. Most folks taking off Thursday and Friday, although we do have markets open for a partial day on Friday in the U.S. Just keep that in mind. We've got a couple of interesting events coming up on Wednesday, too, that could accentuate market volatility this week, as we'll have to be pressing that in before the long weekend there. So to wrap up Friday's session in the U.S., it was sort of back and forth. You look at the NASDAQ 100, all things looked hunky-dory. We saw new highs of the cycle, and futures are up again overnight for the broader market as well. But a mixed session for the S&P 500, and it just suggests that some of the internals, if you look at the median stock out there, not doing that great. The Russell 2000 small caps are actually down quite a bit from their highs. So a bit of a divergence, Peter. I don't know if it's enough yet. And we talked a lot about on Friday some of the risk divergences in this market, the VIX not being at a new low or near the lows as we've got these record market highs and other things. I think it'd pay to have for those to interested to have a re-listen to the Friday podcast on that front. But what's your take here on this market and how we're set up coming into this week?
Well, so we've had these mega caps doing extremely well. As you can see in slide 2, I've sorted our baskets on months to date. So mega cap basket is up 8%, right? So these are the biggest companies in the world. And look at the MSCI World, only up 1.5%. So this month has been driven by these large cap companies. And so I think people that are pointing to on the lack of breadth in the market, I think is absolutely correct pointing that out. So that's definitely something to watch. This divergence, and then I think there were small signs yesterday that on Friday that some investors and traders were playing this lockdown playbook when Austria was hit by were announcing their lockdown starting today. So well, that will follow through. We'll have to see. But interest rates are quite steady, as you said. The VIX is also quite steady. The underlying momentum is just still there in the equity market. I wouldn't be surprised unless we get some very ugly macro numbers this week or some other things coming in from the side that will push higher. Then I've highlighted Vestas because I've been talking a lot with clients lately in a presentation highlighting cybersecurity as sort of a must-own industry. And judging from the earnings season, it really looks like cybersecurity companies are shifting gear. They all, seems like they shifting into a higher growth gear, which is very interesting because they're already growing around 10 to 13% per year, but they're all beating expectations. And now we have this big news with Vestas that have been hit pretty hard by a cybersecurity attack. A lot of data has been compromised. The head of communication have said to the media that some of this IT software that has been hit by the cybersecurity attacks is used in manufacturing. So at this time and point, they don't know to what extent their manufacturing capacity will be impacted. So this is just, another headline that will continue to fuel growth in this industry because, this should be one of the top three priorities for any board to get these things right because it's so devastating.
Yeah, and just also not to add to that, but a bit of what's going on in the markets overnight in Asia, I should mention that the People's Bank of China out with the quarterly monetary policy guidance, and some of the previous language on guidance was dropped. Many are reading as an indication they may be warming up for an easing. And some have highlighted how the Chinese credit impulse has actually peaked and has been in severe decline for quite some time. A lot of that, of course, driven by the whole situation around the property index there. So that's boosted sentiment in some Asian markets. A bit patchy. What's gotten the boost from that? The South Korean index is very strong overnight. Mainland China, yes, but Hang Seng, not so much. So a bit mixed. One area we have talked a little bit about, but I just wanted to highlight it in today's slide deck. On slide 3, you can see the corporate credit. The high yield corporate credit ETF, I just picked out the HYG. You could also look at the JNK or junk. This one is down close to the lows here since October. You're seeing some widening in credit spreads. And that's one of those things, one of those coinciding indicators in the past has been a leading indicator on the market. Just showing a little bit of stress here, but of course deserves our attention pretty soon if we're getting a more notable decline in credit. And then you mentioned that COVID lockdown and COVID playbook. Well, Europe getting the worst of that and the euro as well, because it is centered, the global new wave here in the Northern Hemisphere is centered very much on Europe And you see Euroswiss, as I point out on slide four, hitting below those big 105 lows from early 2020. Interesting, we have the S&P and they're intervening, but they're not able to counter the weight of selling there. Of course, Eurodollar back towards the lows and those pro-cyclical sort of high beta currencies to the EU outlook, especially the Swedish krona doing poorly, but also the Norwegian krona as we've seen a correction in crude oil prices. And that takes us over to commodities. On the energy front, I guess a little bit quiet. We have there was an FT article or a Bloomberg article, I believe actually it was, discussing the Russian buildup on the Ukraine, that U.S. had shared some intelligence there. I may be weighing to a degree on the euro outlook as well, certainly natural gas prices, but a little bit quiet on the energy front. But what's shaking things up in the commodity space right here, Ole?
Well, let's take crude oil first, as you mentioned, John, and as I just put in a slide today, slide seven, and we have seen some weakness now for a few weeks throughout November here, and overnight we hit the first technical level of support. So far, we're holding it. It's the 77.85 area. That's the recent high going back to July. We bounced off that low or that previous high this morning, and it is the two main focus point this week will be the risk of a or continued risk of an SPR, the Strategic Reserve Petroleum Reserve release, maybe a coordinated one. That's still the speculation in the market, and also the COVID threats to mobility. Even though again it's we're not seeing a massive surge in hospitalizations, but we're still seeing some restrictions being put in place, and that potentially could reduce mobility. So into this, we are seeing continued selling from some of the major speculators in the market. I'll be putting that in my cut report, which will be out later today. We saw that the long in Brent crude, as an example, has dropped to a one-year low. But overall, combined, if we take WTI into consideration, it's down to a three-month low. So the market is experiencing some net selling, and obviously going against the recent focus on $100. The market has become much more even based here with bullish and bearish news hitting the market. So I think we will probably find some support in this area. I think an SPR released is potentially already fully priced in. Other markets where we're also seeing some weakness is the gold market. And as I put here on slide six, the gold's biggest threat right now is actually its sudden popularity. We've seen a massive surge in speculative lens held by funds during the past few weeks. It's tripled from 40 to 160,000. And that's basically leaving the market at risk if we should see continued weakness, especially if you do break that 1830 to 35 level. Because remember, speculators that are not married to their positions, they are driven by momentum and technical signals, and if we do break below that, then that could lead to some short-term long liquidation. So that's the main focus this week, and what could be driving that is obviously the focus on the potential Fed president, Fed chair, who is that going to be, whether the Fed will step up its activity to control inflation and so on. So it will be an interesting one, and with regards to that, also the dollar, John.
Yeah, on the pace of the taper, there was Vice Chair Clarida was out on Friday speaking, and he did mention that he would be looking closely at incoming data and would consider the pace of purchases and whether those need to be sped up in December. To me, it's almost a given that they're going to double the rate of tapering in December so they can get this whole tapering business and stop their balance sheet expansion by around the March timeframe next year. There's also on regarding the Fed chair nomination, the situation is ridiculous because it's clear that this has become a political hot potato, this Fed chair nomination, all linked to the Democrats' attempts to get their big social spending package passed through Congress. And that's clear in the latest Wall Street Journal article from Fed watcher Nick Timmerau. So those interested can read that. I'm certainly none the wiser on what's going to happen, but it's clearly hanging over the market, this issue. And as we've indicated, we think the market could be overreacting a bit if they think that Brainard is simply a dovish pick and that's bad for dollar and it's going to change the course of Fed policy from here. I think we've expressed that fairly thoroughly. But more thoughts on that, by the way, in our Friday special edition podcast we recorded with Stein Jakobsen, where he has some considerable thoughts on that nomination and what it will mean for the future Fed policy and for markets. So do tune in for that. If it's of interest, it's the prior podcast to this one in the feed. All right. Peter, it looks like I'm looking at your earnings overview here on slide 8. I'm seeing a lot of Chinese names. That's clearly where we are with this, where they report their earnings relative to the U.S. What's your focus this week on earnings?
Well, you are clearly a little bit too fast because I want to rewind to slide 5 with the future.
Gotta keep up, Peter. Gotta keep up.
Yeah, I know. The future of copper. So this is, when we have a Cried Monday, it's always interesting to just go a little bit more into the helicopter. And on Friday, we wrote this piece on copper miners. There are 16 of those publicly listed. Codelco, the biggest one, is listed in Chile. So we don't have access to that to our clients, unfortunately. So we haven't included that in our analysis. But we focused on copper because Ole have been providing a lot of information to me recently on the copper market, and it's an interesting one because it's highly divided among analysts. Maybe we can touch on that in a few minutes. So there are very strong opinions in either direction that we'll be in deficit or we'll swing to surplus in the copper market. The key thing is that from my perspective, at least on the growth side of things for these copper miners, is that the electrification of the electric grid in the Western world, electric vehicles, air to water heat pumps will be utilized, more air conditioners in hot areas of the world, and then urbanization, which drives copper through the construction side of things, are some of the key drivers that will continue to push copper demand up and up. And what I find the most surprising is because some people said, haven't you considered the ETF? And yes, of course, we have some considered ETF on copper. But the whole point is that one of the reasons why we did the Saxo equity baskets is because a lot of the ETF baskets are not very good at capturing pure exposures. And that was what we thought we could bring to the table, providing better baskets and better pure exposure. And what came as a surprise to me is that there are only 6 copper miners in the world that are publicly listed, except for Codelco, which has which have an exposure of more than 50% of revenue to their copper activities, whether it's extraction or melting or refining. So and you can see the list here on slide 5. So I think it's an interesting theme if you want to play on electrification and urbanization. So that was it, John. And with that said, let's quickly move to slide 8 because there's only one company to mention for today, and that's Zoom Video. We can mention the rest tomorrow. So again, I think I've talked about this before. I think this will probably be the last fiscal quarter that ended in October. So their fiscal year 2022 Q3 will be the last quarter with a very high double-digit or triple-digit growth rate. So the analysts are expecting revenue to hit $1 billion again, just like the previous quarter. So that's revenue growth of around 31%. But then revenue growth will considerably come down from there. And the big question for Zoom is, can they maintain this very high valuation as growth rates are coming down? What is sort of the next leg here? Can they remain standalone in the future, etc.? That's the key question.
Yeah, that's a big question. And just anecdotally, it just seems like the Microsoft Teams takes over here and there from half the time when you're doing video conferences with folks, certainly internally. But what is their relevance over time? It would be very interesting to see if they can carve out a niche. And then on the macro front, we have a couple of very interesting data points this week that we really need to look at, because not so much today. You can see the overview on slide 9. We've got the first of the flash manufacturing and services PMIs up tonight, starting in Asia. So the Asian Tuesday and continuing through tomorrow. That's interesting. But it's really Wednesday that's the focus this week. Again, it's the last day before that effectively a 4-day holiday for most in the U.S., and especially in terms of liquidity, because Friday will be poor liquidity. And we have an RBNZ rate meeting. We have the most aggressive repricing of the forward curve there of any G10 currency. To what degree can this meeting live up to expectations? There's a minority that are looking for a 50 basis point move. Where does that sit relative to the recent COVID outbreaks in Europe, et cetera? And then we have the October PCE inflation data point. This is the Fed's key inflation measure. And then those FOMC minutes to see the degree of the debate or how hot the debate is within the Fed on the need to speed up the taper. We could get some indication that we're leaning, again, more aggressively for that an acceleration of that taper move in or at the December FOMC meeting from that. All again ahead of a extended holiday, 4-day holiday effectively for the U.S. So interesting week ahead, and let's see where the week takes us. And you can tune in tomorrow for the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.